As I mentioned to the children a few moments ago, there were those in Jesus' day who challenged the authority of God's teachers. You might recall that when John the Baptist was preaching and teaching in the wilderness, early in Matthew it tells us that John was approached by many of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But when he saw them coming to his baptism, this was his response. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." In our gospel text this morning, we heard about the temple leaders who did not believe in John the Baptist's authority, or even, as we hear, Jesus' authority. That is, that their work was what God wanted accomplished. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders and of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Here these leaders demonstrate that they don't believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They ask him, waiting between teachings, to ask him, according to the commentator Lenski, they ask him by what authority he was doing the things he was doing. They had seen him already. They had seen him do miracles. They had heard him preach and teach. And yet they still asked. They asked because they had already made up their minds and they wanted to catch Jesus in his words. They wanted to arrest him. Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" Now it may sound odd to us to have Jesus answer a question with a question, especially when it is a question concerning his authority, by what power he was doing these things. But Jesus was not under the authority of these leaders. He was God in human flesh. He was and is. So Jesus asked them about the baptism of John the Baptist, whether it came from heaven or if it came from man. Jesus doesn't give these leaders a chance to catch him in his words. He already knew their intentions. That's why he asked them about John the Baptist. He already knew that they would not answer directly. He gave them two possible answers, from heaven or from man. But neither one of which would have ended well for them. Again, they were asking him not to find out the answer, but because they did not have faith. And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." Again, these leaders did not believe that either John the Baptist or Jesus had God's authority, that they had been acting and leading according to God's authority. They show that they don't when they are more afraid of the crowd's response than admitting that they didn't believe that John the Baptist was doing God's will. They answer noncommittally. Jesus knew that their response was one of insincerity and cowardice, so he refused to answer their question. Instead, he gives them a parable. He says, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." But just like John the Baptist, Jesus taught about repentance, turning from disbelief to belief. On the last day, there will be many surprises. For those who do not repent, one of those surprises will be those who enter the kingdom of heaven ahead of them. There are those who in their early life may practice quite evil things, might practice prostitution or things like that, but may hear the word of God, turn from it, repent, and be welcomed on that last day. And so they will see them enter the kingdom of heaven before them. There'll be those who were notorious for their sinful ways in their early lives, but hear the gospel, believe it, turn from their ways, and enter heaven on that day. Commentator Lenski wrote about it in this way. The word for child is used rather than that for son, relating the expression of a father to his care for his beloved child, not just as his heir. Now today it's less often that we hear about fathers gloating about their sons as their heirs. More often than that, a father is proud of what his son has accomplished. That's the kind of idea that Lenski is saying is referred to here. Not so much that this child will be the one to bear the family name and continue on as an heir, but just as the love of a father. That's my son. So the reply of the first child comes as a shock. It is blunt, rude, and without a trace of respect. I will not. He has dismissed even the hypocrisies with which others cloak their sins. But what happened? Later on, this wicked child regretted his refusal. Everything he knew about his father, about his own relation as a child to his father, and about his obligation toward that father, and about his unnatural and wicked action in treating his father as he had done, led him to regret his shameful course. The same power of grace is today effective in all who know anything about their heavenly Father. So a changed man, this child went away to the vineyard. Now he was indeed a true child. The second child, while saying that he would go, did not. This is why Jesus said, John came to you in the way of righteousness. By calling him John the Baptist, people would refer to John's whole ministry of his by his baptism. A baptism of repentance. Repentance is a change of heart and direction. Like the first child, one always begins as a sinner. But when that person comes to faith, when they recognize that God is their heavenly Father, the very one who made them, they regret it. They regret all the sin that they have done against their heavenly Father, and they turn from it and desire to do their Father's will. They regret that sin or sin that had been previously so precious and desired to do their Father's will. This is the way to which both John the Baptist and Jesus pointed, to Jesus himself, he himself being the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus' way is the way of repentance. John the Baptist had a baptism of repentance in John chapter 8, and Jesus told the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, go and from now on sin no more. And as John wrote in the first of his letters, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those are the words we just spoke a few moments ago in this divine service. Our lives then are to be ones of repentance. As sinners, we would never desire to turn away from our sins, but we have been made saints by Jesus. Shortly after our text, Jesus would go to the cross of Calvary. There he would pray for the sins of the entire world, including yours. As ones who have been brought to faith, we see plainly that our sins have been against our Heavenly Father, and we feel sorry for them. We desire to do better. We desire to turn away from them. We want to do our Father's will. John the Baptist said it well before Jesus' ministry, and it bears repeating now. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The world hardens its heart at this saying, but not you, dear friends in Christ. You've received the Holy Spirit. You've heard God's word, and the Spirit is working in you now as a saint so that you desire to hear God's word. You can say with Paul that God's law is good. It is the sin in you that is evil. And you repent of it. You repent every day. The leaders who questioned Jesus didn't believe in him or John. You do. You know where their ministry came from and where it was going. To the cross of Calvary and beyond for your salvation. God has called you to this way of life and he will keep you in it for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, who taught by God's authority. In Jesus' name, amen.